You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones. Good morning, saints of God. This is Tom, and it is time to wake up. I'm trying to wake up myself. I didn't have any hot tea this morning, and matter of fact, I woke up about 2, so worked on a couple things, worked on my message, and worked on a drawing for my business partner. It's been a little challenging at work lately. Paul's been not feeling well, and my wife, she's not been feeling well. She's starting to get better, and but anyway, remember, this is the day the Lord has made. And the word tells us, let us rejoice and be glad. Didn't say let us complain and be glad. It's a let us rejoice and be glad. I'm going to put on a song and a couple little songs. They're short. And I pray you would enjoy them.
Your grace, your grace.
That song was by Twyla Pierce, and I used to listen to her a lot when I was in the mission field, and so love her music, and the Lord brought her music back to my remembrance. And when I listen to her music, it really reminds me of going back when I was in Hawaii working with Dr. Patrick, and so enjoy your music. What a lovely lady. She's still living, and I believe she lives in Arkansas, has four children. But what a beautiful ministry that she has, and I'm enjoying listening to her music. And just want to start the morning off, if you wouldn't mind, if we could just pray a minute, especially for our country and the war in Iran, that Father God, I pray you would help us, help each and every one of us here in America and throughout the world. When we cry out, Father God, to you, that that you just in this this war, and I pray hedge your protection for our country, our president, Congress, Senate, that they would make wisely decisions, Father God. And I pray for Israel, the apple of your eye, Father God, that no weapon formed against Israel shall ever prosper, Father God, that you would cause confusion in the camp of the enemy, Father God. And I pray that the war would end, Father God, that that you would just intervene somehow. It's causing great hardship in our country and the world economy as well. So I pray you would hear our cry, Father God. Wake us up as a nation, Father God. Wake me up as well. Wake us up, Father God, that we can hear the essence of your heartbeat, beat, which beats people, people, people. Let us draw nearer to you, as your word reminds us all, that you would draw nearer and nearer to us. I thank you, Father God, for this day, our nation, our president, the Congress, senators, Father God, the governors, that they would awaken, Father God, that they would take a stand, and may our nation once again prosper and put you first always. So we thank you for this day. Those that are listening, Father God, if they're upset, down, discouraged, Father God, that they can cast their cares upon you, as your word says, for you care for them, for thee, rather. So thank you, Father God, for this day. Thank you for the listeners. Thank you for our nation. Thank you for just hearing our prayers. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Well, as the word says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. If you're in the middle of a storm, you know, just cast your cares upon him. You need a job. God's calling you to do something and you're not sure, you know, what to do. Just as the word says, be still, and know I'm God. Be still. Sometimes I think we all talk too much. We need to listen more. You know, the word says, my sheep know me by my voice. Be still and know me. And the Lord will speak to you through his word as well. And I encourage you to spend time in the word. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. And so, you know, whatever it is that you're going through, you know, you just cast your cares upon him. As he says, he careth for thee. And so what a wonderful day this is. You know, I didn't sleep too well last night, and the Lord had me up praying for Iran, America, our world. You know, I look at people today, and everyone seems to be a little angry. They're just angry. Lord, help us with our anger issues, Father. Help us with our anger issues. You know, as Danny was reminding me today about our stinking thinking, you know, we just need to decrease. As St. Paul said in the Word, that we decrease, that, you know, Jesus can increase, not my flesh. You know, Lord, have me to speak the way you'd have me to speak, and say what you'd have me to say, and encourage those I need to encourage. And, so, you know, it's a journey, and it wasn't promised to be easy, you know, and, but what a joyful journey it is walking with the Lord. And I pray no matter what you're going through, that, that he'd be with you. And he is. He said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even till the end. And, no matter what you're going through, just cast your cares upon him. Don't worry about tomorrow. No, don't do it. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, for today has enough cares of its own. As you know, I used to share on the radio, I'm sure you've heard me share this, that, you know, if you worry about tomorrow, then what you're doing is you're robbing the opportunities of the things that will come your way today that you'll miss. So by worrying about tomorrow, you know, that's why the word says don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough cares of its own. You'll miss those divine appointments that you're supposed to be a blessing to someone or encourage someone or helping someone. So, you know, today, focus on today, what you're supposed to be doing, because the word says the steps of a righteous are ordered by him. So if you're, you know, you could be missing some steps and beats, you know, and hearing what he's saying for you to do today, if you're concentrating on worrying about tomorrow, you know, don't do it. You know, just cast your cares. Come on now. Cast your cares on him. For he said, he cares for thee. And I just want to share something. I was sharing with my wife about something. It was about a week ago, I believe. This week or last week, I can't remember. And I had a speaking engagement, and I really loved the little town that I went to. It was in Virginia. I was asked to come up there and speak at a church, and it was Assembly of God. And my friend spoke. They had another speaker come in, and he was a friend of mine, too. He spoke the Sunday morning service, and I had an opportunity, and what an honor it was for me to share Sunday evening. And I love speaking and encouraging God's people. I really do. But anyway, Sunday night came, and as I came into the church, I was, you know, talking to people and thanking them for inviting me to come to their lovely church. And I believe it was Culpeper, Virginia. Really enjoyed it. And had an opportunity to pray for a husband and wife. His wife was going to be having open heart surgery that week, and I was honored to pray for her. And as I sat with her and she was crying, I told her put my hands on her, and we prayed for her and asked the Lord for God in the surgeon's hands, and what a precious couple they were. And then my friend came up to me as I finished praying, and he said something that kind of shook me a little bit, and I hope this makes sense the way I'm sharing it, but he said, Tom, eagles don't sit with chickens. And I looked at him and I said, Pastor, I'm not quite sure what you're saying. He said, you need to be up front, and eagles don't sit with chickens. And you know, I had a hard time with that as I was thinking about that this week. You know, I remembered it, and I'm not upset with the pastor at all, but none of us are eagles, you know. We're all the same. And the lady that I got through praying for, she said, well, you're important. You go up front. And I said, no, I'm, you're just as important as I am, you know? So no matter what we achieve in this life or what position that we have or how much money that we have, you know, doesn't make us better than someone else. It just doesn't, you know, the word tells us that he that should be first shall be last. You know, that's how Jesus would do. He put others first. And so, you know, we've got this, I'm not sure how to say it, but, you know, in ministry, there's some folks that, some of these evangelists that think they're a little bit better than other people, but we're all the same. Jesus said he's no respecter of people. And, you know, no matter what you achieve and, you know, how big your ministry is or how big your business is, doesn't mean that you're any better than anyone else. It doesn't, you know, I just ask the Lord to help us here in America that, you know, we have some issues with our attitude, with our hearts, with, you know, look how big my church is, look how big my ministry is. No, it's not about us. It never will be. It is all about Jesus. And, you know, we should put others first and esteem others higher than ourselves. More than ourselves, and we need to be doing that. In Hebrews 3:13, remember, it says that we're to encourage one another daily. It didn't say put one another down daily. It didn't say backbite daily. It said encourage one another daily, what a day is still called today. And so, you know, I was thinking about that, and I don't know why my mind went to that little town in Culpeper, Virginia, which was a country town. And I was honored to minister there on a Sunday evening. But I was caught off guard when the pastor that was my friend spoke the Sunday service, came up and told me that eagles don't sit with chickens. And I'm not an eagle by no means. I'm just a servant. And that's what we should be, because I believe in the word. It tells us, the word of God tells us that when we pass away and go to heaven, he said, you're going to hear him say, enter thou good and well and faithful servant to the joy of the Lord. You know, and that's what we should be when we're here. We should be serving one another, being that blessing to one another, not saying that, you know, look how big the ministry is, look how big my house is, look how big my checkbook is or bank accounts are, you know, my portfolio, whatever we have or whatever we achieve doesn't make us better than anyone else. We're all the same. We're here together to work with one another, to be in harmony with one another. But unfortunately, there are people that you know, the enemy's working. I'm telling you, you know, and that's why we need to kick it up another notch for the Lord and wake up to hear the essence of his heart and wake up and share Jesus with people, you know, because we're living, and I believe we're living in the last days, and we need to be sharing Jesus with other people. And so I share that from my heart that, you know, I'm not an eagle. I'm not here on the radio trying to make a name. I don't want my name to be known. Billy Graham once said, if my name's mentioned once, the late Billy Graham said, then my name's mentioned once too many times. I don't want my name to be known. I desire that Jesus' name be known. And if he be lifted up, he'd draw all people, you know. So just remember that, you know, that no matter what degrees you have, what titles you have, you know, walk humbly before our God. And I tell you what, he'll take you a long way. Esteem others more than yourself. And he'll take you a long way. Well, I want to share this morning. I promised you that I would share some scriptures with you, how to lead people effectively to Jesus. I used to share these scriptures when I was in the mission field. And, you know, we need to study the Word. And I encourage you all to spend some quiet time with the Lord, you know, each morning when you wake up or during the middle of the day when you just step aside, open the Word of God, sit down and just say, you know, Lord, help me. Help me understand your Word. I'm trying to, you know, I've been a Christian a long time and there's things I'm studying and I thought, Lord, I didn't know that was there in there. And, you know, and I look at this scripture and I thought, oh, wow. And then I go to church and I hear the sermon, the pastor ministers, and I thought, wow, that's neat. He really highlighted on some things. It made the scripture better for me to understand. And that's why we are to assemble ourselves. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself. So many people I meet say, well, I don't need church. I don't need church. I can worship God. Well, you know, okay, you know, but the Word says, forsake not the assembling of yourself. You go to church to hear the Word of God, to be encouraged, and to be ministered to worship the Lord as well. And so there's a reason for that, because, you know, the Word says iron sharpens iron. And you go to learn more about the Lord when you go to church and have Sunday school. You learn more about in the scriptures about Jesus and the disciples and what they went through and what Jesus went through, and that he shed his precious blood on the cross that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. I tell you what a joy. What a joy. He didn't say it wasn't going to be easy. He didn't say the storms aren't going to come. And when they come, he's going to be there with you. You can guarantee that no matter what you are going through. One year I had to have, I believe, I can't remember, it was 57 stitches put in my head. And I had melanoma cancer. And it was in the beginning stages. And I was awake for that. And it was horrible to go through it. But, you know, I just prayed as a surgeon was trying to get all the beginnings of the cancer, melanoma, out. I just kept thanking the Lord and thinking about some music and trying to worship the Lord. And then he had to put the 57 stitches in my head. This, you know, the trials will come our way. And when they do, you know, are we going to complain and get upset? No, you just say, Lord, thank you, you know, whatever you're going through. You know, just say, Lord, thank you. You know, I encourage you all, and let's not complain, because the Word says he inhabits the praises of his people. You know, not the complaints, the praises of his people. So let's get in the habit of thanking him more and not spending so much time listening to the news or, you know, searching the websites and all that other stuff. And I'm not saying all that stuff's wrong, but, you know, have a balance, you know, spend 15, 20 minutes, not all day on, you know, watching the news or, you know, on the websites, you're going here, going there, you know, just just prioritize things in your life. Have a balance. And that's what life is about, being balanced spiritually, physically with your body, you know, physically trying to work out a little bit, and financially. Have the Lord help you in all three of those areas. And he will. You receive not, the word says, because you've asked not. Ask him to help you. I'm asking him. You know, I need help spiritually. You know, I need help physically, you know, getting back on my bike, you know, and this body doesn't want to do it. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, you know. So, you know, and I'm trying to ask him to help me financially as well. So, and you can do it, you know, because the word, St. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But one of the things I encourage you to do is when you go to church, you know, turn around and say hi to someone in the back of you or in the front of you, next to the left of you, next to the right. That may be their first time there, you know, and, you know, welcome them and maybe just encourage them that have a good day in Jesus' name and bless them. Be a blessing to them. And if they don't know the Lord, you might have some friends, relatives, family members. I have a few of them, and I've tried to share over the years with a few of my family members, and it doesn't seem to sink in, but you've planted the seed, the Word of God, in their hearts, and eventually, hopefully, it'll take hold. Don't give up. Don't give up on that person. So I want to share about seven scriptures with you this morning about leading someone to Christ, you know? First is found in the book of Revelation, the last chapter of the Word of God. It says, Revelation 3:20. You might want to write these down. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in, eat with him, and he with me. He's standing at the door knocking on their hearts. Just might want to share that with them. You know, you first have to be, you know, years ago in Hawaii, you know, we would minister on the streets of Waikiki, and that place was alive. I mean, I'm sure during this storm that they had, Waikiki was still alive. There's people partying all night and all day. We used to witness on the streets of Waikiki until it was time, Saturday night to 7 o'clock, and I'd take a few of the people with me to church and didn't sleep that night. We were ministering, Lee and Daryl and I, and playing music on the street, Christian music, and leading people to Jesus. And this is one of the scriptures we shared with them. Again, it's Revelation 3:20. Here I am, the Lord says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, which is his heart, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. And the next one, you can find it. These are some scriptures you may want to share with a friend or someone you don't even know, that might not even know Christ. And, you know, what you have to do is you can't be their Holy Spirit. Don't be critical to people. You know, and when I was in Hawaii, I used to tell people, you're a sinner, you need to repent. And I'd go in a bar and I'd hear the mugs hit the counter, you know, and the bartender said, get out. And I would minister the wrong way. You got to love people where they are, you know. And the Word of God, it tells us, as the deer panteth for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. You know, that deer is tasting the water. If you were to go up to that deer and yell at it, what would happen? It would run away. And I think sometimes, you know, we do that with other people. You know, we go up to them and, you know, we're so religious, and I don't even like that word religious, you know, being a Christian. But anyway, you know, if you go up to a person, go up gently and quietly and be their friend first. You know, don't pound them with the gospel and browbeat them and take the Bible and hit them over the head with it. You don't need to do that. You just need to love them where they are, on the way of where Jesus wants to take them. And then the second scripture you could share with them is found in 1 John 5:11-12. And it is this testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. You have to open your heart and say, Lord, you know, I'm a sinner. Come in. And I open my heart's door to you, and I repent of my sins, and I want to make you Lord over all. The third scripture is found in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we used to minister to people, and when we did, you know, when we did, it's a free gift, you know, that God wants to give you, a free gift. And I'd put something in my hand when I would minister and say, this is a gift I want to give you. What must you do to receive it? And they'd say, I'd take it. But until they reach out and physically take it out of my hand, it becomes a gift to them. And the same thing with same away with Christ. You know, you have to possess it and say, Lord, come into my life. You know, you can't earn it. You know, it's not by works. And again, it's Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's a gift. It's a free gift. And all you have to do is receive it and say, Lord, here, come into my life. Make me a new creature. And I know, as the word says, old things are passed away, and behold, I become a new creature. The fourth one is found in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, a lot of people think, well, I'm going to get to heaven if I do this. No, it's not by works. You can't earn your way to heaven. You know, you can't give your way to heaven. You just can't do it, you know? You know, there are a lot of people out there giving to this charity, giving to, and they don't even know Jesus, you know? You just say, Lord, come into my heart. You said, old things are passed away. Behold, I'm a new creature. You know, it's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast, by just opening up your heart. The next one's found in Romans 5:9-13, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you calling on him? You know, and when you share these scriptures with people, you know, share it in love. You know, don't browbeat people. Don't browbeat your relatives. Don't browbeat the sinners, you know, your neighbor, your coworkers. You know, just love on them where they are. You know, just love on them. You know, there's a gentleman that works for me and my business partner, and he's an atheist. And there's times I just love on him, you know. I just love on him. And one time his tire blew and he didn't have any money to fix his tire, and we made sure his tire was fixed to get a new one. And when he had car trouble, and I asked Paul, I said, what does he make? Maybe just please increase his salary a little bit. We just try to love on him, and we gave him some money to get his car fixed. So that's what we're to do as Christians. We're not to browbeat people. We're to love them where they are. You know, there's opportunities that you will want to share some of these scriptures with them. And number six, it's found in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all of us are sinners, saved by his grace. We're all sinners, including myself. And just say, Lord, you know, I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins, and I want to make you Lord over all. And last but not least, my favorite, found in John 3:16. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but all have everlasting life. Now, that's a good one. You could just use that scripture if you wanted to share it with someone. But share it to them in love. If you know they're, you know, you might go up to someone and they're an alcoholic. You know, you don't need to talk about the alcohol to them, their problem with alcohol. You let Jesus deal with them on that. You know, just listen to them. You know, they're probably hurting, you know. So just minister to them. You might have an opportunity to, you might not be able to share scriptures with them for a while. They may not be ready for that. Just pray for them. Say, Lord, I pray that I'd have an opportunity to share these scriptures with them and love on them. And because, you know, there'll be a day where they'll say, well, you know, what makes you tick? You know, you have something, and what is it? And you'll have an opportunity to share some of these scriptures with them and lead them to Christ. Again, that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. What a joy. Let me go over these scriptures again. It's the first one is Revelation. If you're trying to lead someone to Christ, these are some scriptures you may want to use. Again, that's Revelation 3:20. That's the first one. The second one is 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12. The third is Romans 6:23. Fourth is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, versus Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Number 5 is Romans 5, verses 9 through 13. Number 6 is Romans 3:23. And the last one, the seventh one, is John 3:16. I really love that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. You can lead someone to Christ. It's real simple. It's real easy to do. Just, you know, just say, you know, repeat after you share some of these scriptures with them, say, you know, do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And, you know, don't make them pray. You pray with them. And you say, you know, just bow your head and repeat after me. Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I open my heart's door to you, Lord, and I want you to reign in my life and be Lord over everything. And thank you for coming in, making me a new creature in you, in Jesus' name. That's a simple prayer. That's a simple prayer. It's not, don't make it complicated. Just love them where they are, on the way where Jesus wants both you and them to go. And another thing I love to share is 10 daily duties of a Christian. Duties of a Christian. She used to share this a lot. Number one is prayer. You know, we need to be praying every day. Don't pray without ceasing. You know, that's found in Matthew 6:11. Take up your cross daily. That's Luke 9:23. Take up your cross daily. It's not once a year, once every other day. Take up your cross on a daily basis. Number three, continue in one accord. You know, try to work in harmony with your coworkers, with your neighbors. And it's hard, you know, but continue in one accord. When you go to church, don't argue with someone that, you know, because I notice that sometimes when Christians get together, you know, one will want to outdo the other one, or, you know, and then you might not see it the way they see it. But, you know, let's stay in one accord and in unity. Number four is teach, you know, that we teach and encourage one another. Number five, win souls. Acts 2:47. We need to be out winning souls, leading people to Jesus. And I mean that, you know, because the world, it's a dark world. People are lost today. You know, people think they've got their act together, but if inwardly they're not. They don't have their act together. You know, they may think they do, but they don't. Number six, preach Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. That's found in Acts 17:11. Discuss Scripture. That's how you grow in Christ, is discuss Scripture. And that's how you learn more about the Word of God. That's how you grow and your faith grows. And then number nine, carry responsibility. Take on some responsibilities, you know, whether it be your church or maybe serving some food at the Daily Bread. I think the Daily Bread is closed up. I think they're, whatever the Lord would have you to do. But let's carry some responsibility and not be just a hearer of the Word, but as the Word tells us, to be a doer of the Word. And number 10, which is one of my favorites, number 10. You'll hear me share this a lot on the radio. Number 10, exhort one another daily. We need to exhort one another daily. And we, the church, need to have altar calls all the time. We need to be bringing people up to the altar and praying for them that they come to know the Lord, that they give their heart and life to Christ. Because I tell you what, when we leave this earth, we're not taking anything with us. I sure would love to see a lot of people go into heaven, you know. And so we need to, you know, open our mouth. You can do it. You can share Christ with people. You don't have to, don't browbeat them. Love them where they are. You might get to know them, and it could be a month. It could be a couple days. It could be years before you'll have a chance to share Christ. But don't put it off. Don't put sharing Christ with other people off. And it takes boldness, and the Lord can give you that boldness that you need. But again, share it with God's grace and His mercy and His love. We had a friend that, our dear friend Ann, and my wife dearly misses her. She's probably one of the finest person that I have ever met in my life. I mean, I've met a lot of good people, but there was just a sweetness about her. And, you know, my wife said, we have to share with her. We have to share with her. And I said, I know. And I was thinking, I don't want to offend your friendship with her. It could offend her. And then it took her deathbed that we'd go to Orlando and sit with her when she was passing away, that we had an opportunity to share Christ with her. You know, don't wait till it's too late. You know, I know the Lord can honor that, and He does. Like the thief on the cross, when there's two thieves on the cross, and one of them said, Lord, remember me. And so even when in our deathbed, we can turn our life and give our life to Christ. It's never too late. So just, I encourage you, want to stir you up to be that light into the dark places that where Jesus sends us all, that we would be that blessing that he called us to be. And hope you've enjoyed the message today. I think I've got a few more minutes left. It's 9:43. And, you know, just spend some quality time with Jesus, you know. And don't try to be people's Holy Spirits and try to. My problem was years ago, I tried to shake people up and try to clean them up. You can't do that, you know. Danny went on a fishing trip, I believe it was to Mount Dora here at the studio. It was last weekend, and I was thinking about him fishing. And we're called to be fishermen of men, to minister to him, to encourage him, not put him down, but to lead him to Jesus. And you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me one time. We were, brother was leaving, he and his wife were leaving Hawaii years ago, and he said, Tom, my wife wanted me to take you out to dinner. And I said, well, you don't have to do that. He said, no, you're my best friend. And so Dan took me out. And afterwards, he said, let's go find a waterfall and let's have a foot washing service. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, we're going to wash each other's feet. And we did. You know, it's biblical. And he washed my feet first and I washed his. And then all of a sudden, I saw some fish flying out of the water. You know, I said, look, Dan, even the fish are praising the Lord. And you know what the Holy Spirit put on my heart? He said, you know, I called you to catch him, but leave the cleaning to me. Let him do the cleaning, you know. Let him clean people up. You can't do it. Just love them where they are, you know. And sometimes that's hard to do because there's some people that are really difficult, you know. Sometimes, you know, I have to say there's one family member I have that I have to love her, and that's my sister from a distance. You know, she's just has an attitude, and I just pray for her all the time, and I do, and love her, but sometimes I just have to love her from a distance because every time I talk to her, she argues, she yells, and it's her way, no way, the highway, whatever, but just I still love her. But I sometimes you can love people from a distance too, and whatever it is you're going through, you know. Just ask the Lord to give you holy boldness, you know, and to stand up, to speak up, but do it in love, not arrogance and not be prideful, you know, look at my gift, look what I have. No. Look what the Lord's doing. You know, he wants to use you. You know, I believe every human on this earth is called. I do. I don't think it's the pastors and evangelists and teachers. I think you're called. You're listening to me. You're called. You're called to do something. And so I want to encourage you to whatever it is that, you know, you don't have to be in ministry. You don't have to go to the mission field. But, you know, when I look at it, America's in, we're in a mission field just in America. You don't have to go to Africa or, you know, Haiti. I think the greatest mission field I'm seeing is America. You know, we've lost our minds here in America, you know, and I'm not being political on anyone here or, that are listening, but we've absolutely lost our ever-loving minds, you know. Let's get right with Jesus. You know, we are a Christian nation, and we are founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And, you know, come on, church, let's wake up. You know, in the days of Hitler, you know, the church people, and this is a true story, they were singing in the churches, and when they heard the trains roaring by and hearing the screams of the Jews, the choir director said, sing louder, we don't want to hear it, you know? They didn't want to hear it, you know? But we live in a hurting country. Our country's hurting. I believe our country's, as Franklin Graham shares, it could be broken. It is broken. Lord, you're the only one that can fix the brokenness of our country, of our nation. You know, help us, Lord. Find our way back to you. You know, it's not about me, myself, and I. That's a, you know, it's often shared that we have a new Trinity. And the Trinity is the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I think we have a new Trinity in America, and it's called me, myself, and I, you know? And that's sad. You know, that's sad. You know, people find happiness in drinking, in drugs, and, you know, their fame and fortune. That doesn't bring happiness. Proverbs says, better where there is little where love dwells than plenty where hate abounds. You know, my last trip to Haiti, those people had nothing over there, but they were sure prosperous in Jesus. What is prosperity? You know, I'd like to tell some of these evangelists living in $35 million homes and driving their $70 million jets or whatever. I'm not jealous of them. I'd like to tell them, you know what prosperity is? It isn't what you have, what you wear. You know, prosperity is really your relationship with Jesus. knowing Jesus. When I was in Haiti, they had nothing. They don't have a Publix over there. They don't have one McDonald's over there. You know, it's a good time to fast going to a country like that, you know, because they have nothing. But yet I found people that were very happy and they were secure in Jesus and they knew him, you know. So stuff doesn't bring us happiness. And I'm not against stuff by no means, but have a balance of stuff. You know, don't let the things have you. You have the things. And and the word teaches us that, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's not be in wanting all the time. I'm around a lot of people, and I want this, I want this, I want this. And, you know, again, there's nothing wrong with things. And Lord knows we need things. But have a balance with the stuff here on this earth. You know, let's have a healthy balance of it. Well, I think my time's just about up. I'm looking at the clock, 9:48. Maybe I'll put on some music. I don't think it's working. I have an issue with this little box of mine, and I'm gonna play a song, and so you know, let this song minister to you, and I'm looking at some of my music I put on here, and I love praise music, and I want you to listen to some more praise music too, and let me play this one, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Tell your heart to beat again. You'll love this song. Let it minister to you. Let the song minister to you. Tell your heart to beat again.
Shattered like you've never been before. The life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these. When this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. Over you, it's all right now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one, leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. For your good, tell your heart. eyes and breathing in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace.
Let your heart beat again, you know, and no matter what you're going through, if you've been hurt at church, go back. One person might have hurt you, but you know what? There'll be hundreds of others that'll love on you. You know, don't look back. Sometimes we look back and look at our past, look at the disappointments, the hurts from family member, friends. Don't look back. Look ahead at what Jesus has. The past will never direct your destiny. Jesus will. He'll direct your destiny. He will. You're assured of that. And if any of you out there listening don't know Jesus, today is the day, as his word says, of salvation, for you to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Old things are passed away, and you said, behold, I'm a new creature in you. I want to fall deeper in love with you, Jesus, not the things of the world. Let my heart beat again for you, not the things of this earth. Let my heart beat for you. And I pray, Lord, if anyone out there has been hurt, Lord, they'll let that go. They'll learn to forgive, as the word says, 70 times 7, which is 490 times. Now, you know, think of that one now. You know, that's an infinite amount of times that Jesus said, you know, forgive. Just forgive them and move on. Let that hurt go. Let that pain go. You know, let it all go. Have a funeral service and bury your past. Bury the things that's disappointed you. Bury it. You know, one time the Holy Spirit told me, if I don't bury my past, the past is going to bury me. Yeah, that's the truth. You know, I was an orphan growing up. My mom passed away in front of me, and I asked my dad, what are we going to do? He said, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm leaving. And he left. Let the past go. Let it go. Because the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, hey, let go of it. If you don't, it's going to bury you. It's going to bury you. Some of you that are listening, you need to let go of that past. You need to let go of some of the pain that people have caused you, the disappointments, the discouragement. Let it go. Maybe there's a pastor that's offended you and that's hurt you. Let that go. Go back and love on him, you know, or pray for him, you know. But the past will never direct your destiny. Jesus will. Jesus will direct your destiny. You just let these things that are holding on to you, let it go. Because if you don't learn to forgive, I tell you what, I've learned. It's like cancer to the body, not forgiving someone. It'll just eat you alive and you'll be miserable. We need the joy of the Lord. That's what we need. We need Jesus now more than ever. We need America to wake up. I need to wake up. You need to wake up to hear his heart and do what he tells you to do, to be that light into the dark places that you're called to go. Let your heart beat for him, not the things of the earth, but beat for Jesus. Be for him. And my prayer is that we come alive again as a nation, that we are called to be that light into the dark places. Lord, waken us up. Wake our hearts. You know, let us see the things you'd want us to see, and let us hear the things you want us to hear from you. And not just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. Let us let the past go, the disappointments. You know, yeah, maybe we didn't get that retirement that we wanted. Maybe we didn't get that things that we want in life. Let it all go. You know, Jesus knows what you need. You know, learn to forgive that family member, that person, or your neighbor. You know, I've had some neighbors that were a thorn in my side. I just had to, you just have to love them and you pray for them, you know, and move on. You know, don't look back. Because the Bible said, he that looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Let all that stuff go. Learn to forgive them and move on, you know. And again, let your heart beat for him. Let your heart beat for him. Now more than ever, May we come alive for Jesus. May we be that light in the dark places that he's calling us to be. May you never be the same. I pray in Jesus' name today would be a new dawn, a new day, and a new beginning for each and every one of you that are listening, that your hearts have been stirred today. And I've been stirred, Lord. You've been dealing with me on some issues to wake up even more. Speak up. Moses said he didn't know how to speak. You know what God told him? Open your mouth. I'll feel it. Some of you just need to open your mouth. Let him feel it. Some of you just think that the steps of the righteous are ordered by him, not the leaps. Take one step at a time, one day at a time. Learn to forgive and ask the Lord, let your heart beat again. Well, my time's almost up, and I sure enjoyed today. This morning, I pray the program was a blessing to you, and I pray the very best is yet to come. In Jesus' name. Till next week, God richly, richly bless you.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.